I wanted to welcome you to the Holistic Healing Course. This is our 12th week already, and tonight we're going to be talking about subpersonalities, which is a fascinating subject. And before we start, I just want to know, does anybody have any questions on anything or comments, anything they'd want to say? Nothing? Okay, there was one thing that I wanted to mention. Several people have mentioned to us about how much they have to do and feeling a little behind with the class and everything. And I just wanted to say, just to take it at your own pace and feel comfortable with what you're able to do. We are sharing a lot of information, and these are things that we learned over a period of years, and you're receiving them over a period of weeks and months. So just keep that in mind. And what I did when I started doing the healing work and practicing and everything is I focused on the things that were of the greatest interest to me, you know, just like we talk about with life purpose, focus on the things that are most exciting to you that feel like you really want to learn them. And then just leave the things that aren't quite as high on your priority list for later, and you'll find that you'll return to them. That's what I really did. I kept focusing on the things that made the most sense to me for my next step first, and then for whatever I was wanting to do. And then I just as time went on, I went back to the other things and gradually incorporated everything that I felt I needed. And of course, the things, if there are things that don't resonate as much with you, they may be things that you won't be using so much. Although I would say with the items that we've been learning about regression and with what we're covering tonight, subpersonalities, that these are areas that I think are really valuable and to understand, because you'll find that people are having experiences that relate to the past, so you want to be able to deal with it. And the subpersonalities are just parts of ourselves who've become disconnected from our wholeness, which is really what the essence of healing is about also. And in a way, you could look at them as different perspectives. A subpersonality is as I mentioned, a part that has become disconnected from our wholeness. And the wounded inner child would also be considered a subpersonality. A past life character would also be a subpersonality, a past life character who has been disconnected, or one that even as a resource could be considered a subpersonality. So these ideas overlap, and they're just different ways of addressing the same thing. Actually, I was working with a person the other day who, at the beginning of the session, was talking about wanting to do regression to something that happened in the past. And we started off with the process, and the way that it evolved for me, in my role as the practitioner, what really stood out is that I needed to address it as a subpersonality process. It was just, and I think for me, a lot of it's just very intuitive. It's just like it feels like this is the right direction to go. And we never actually did any exploration of the past, per se. Each part has probably something to do with the past, but it isn't necessarily important to pinpoint exactly where that aspect came from. And again, it becomes, for me, it just is very intuitive. Where does this feel like it's going? How does it feel most flowing to proceed from where we are now? And that's kind of what I've experienced, I think, is a sense of flow through the session. And I just decide in the moment what the next step is going to be each time. So does anyone have any comments or questions just about progress, those kinds of things, about your progress? And And also, I think you all know, you should know that we're always happy to speak with anybody if you have anything you want to speak with us about individually, too. In fact, we enjoy it and appreciate it because this is, you know, this course is our main focus, actually, and we want you all to succeed.
Jane, it's Mary Lou.
Yes.
I was one of those people, so I'm glad I'm only one of, and not that I'm happy that everybody else is in the same boat or that there are other people in the same boat, but I'm glad to hear I'm not alone. And I appreciate, you know, your addressing that, and it feels comforting. So
good.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah, and you want to feel comfortable. You know, that part of progressing is just in being in the flow with what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to realize that everything is happening just the way it needs to and not to expect any more of yourself than you're able to give at this time, and realize that you're going to be able to assimilate and practice and do all these things in the perfect time. There's a lot, you can bring up a lot of stuff too, and another part of it is that you can only integrate so much at a time. We've always resisted and actually have never taught any kind of one of those 2-week everyday classes. I forget what they call those, you know, the where everything is taught really fast because people like to learn things, you know, quickly. Or they call them intensives, I guess. An intensive healing class, to us, we wouldn't want to do it because people can't integrate, and you can't just keep absorbing the information. It does seem to work really well in the format that we have from what we're seeing with your group, where you have a couple contacts a week, which is enough to keep you involved.
That definitely is helpful.
Yeah, in the forefront. But to have like all day, every day for 2 weeks, people just burn out, I think. Or they go completely numb and forget, you know, after the first couple of days, just forget everything, but they get a certificate, which is not, you know, it's wonderful to have the certificate, but it's more important to be able to assimilate what you're learning.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So, subpersonalities. Along with this discussion of subpersonalities and the outline, we mentioned the potential of looking at the issues of marketing your spiritual practice, and I also thought related to that, expressing yourself, just anything, actually it could be anything, just to have something to focus on if you're wanting to address a subpersonality, that you could, something that you could be looking at, a part of yourself that where you might be experiencing some conflict, something less than whole. And this is just these are just ideas of suggestions of things that are really actually important to address, especially if you're wanting to build a practice, anything that might be stopping you, like not having confidence, not being able to speak up for yourself, not being able to gracefully accept money, any of those things. It's great to address those and just get past them. In the manual, the subpersonalities are covered, you probably know, in section 12 on page 9, and it's not actually important necessarily for you to follow along. I just wanted to go over a couple of the main points. Like I said, I actually do a lot with subpersonalities in my own experience with myself and on my journey, and I do use these kinds of processes a lot with clients. The basic idea is that we consider ourselves to be one unified person, you know, or most people do. I think probably people like us are more aware that we're not united. And actually, within most of us, there are many different parts. And you can tell that there are different parts because of the emotional conflict that we experience within ourselves, where one part might want to, for instance, go on a diet and lose weight, and another part is not interested at all and says, well, just forget it. And so we have this dialogue going on within ourselves of different aspects. And most of them, where there is conflict, have become disconnected from our wholeness. To me, also, if you look at the bigger picture, the way that I see it is like we come down from our source, which I see as a light above us, and we come down into the third dimension, and it's kind of like, I think of it as being like a spaceship that comes into Earth's atmosphere, and there's a lot of turbulence and different pieces fall off, and, you know, it somehow makes it down in one piece, but seemingly, but there are actually pieces that have become disconnected. And, of course, this process is also happening at different times throughout our lifetimes. So what we have, rather than having this one unified whole, is we have our center, which we view as being in the heart. And then from there, there are like a lot of different pieces that have no access whatsoever to our light. So in other words, they're in the dark. And they don't have good resources. They don't have the best resources that they could have to make decisions. But because they're in the unconscious, they're making decisions just with the best of information they have or had available at the time they were created. And until we connect with them consciously and bring them back into our wholeness, they're out there kind of in the dark, taking energy and also just creating conflict for us. In each case also, this is an important point with subpersonalities, there's a pairing of a recognized part, which we acknowledge, and a disowned part, which we're unable to acknowledge and which is hidden in the unconscious. And it can be very interesting, for instance, with a dieting as a good example, to have a person speak first from the perspective of the part who wants to lose weight, and then take on a different perspective of what about, is there another part of you who has something to say about that? And you'll get generally what it would do is bring up a lot of the unconscious elements and that other part. When you're working with subpersonalities, you may encounter more than one part, and there may be different aspects that some may be resources, some may be parts of the self. And another element that comes in is there may be aspects that are not even part of the self. And it happened in the process that I did the other day that there was an aspect that was creating conflict. And in the end, it turned out that the client didn't feel that it was a part of her. She felt that it was something that was outside of herself, which people may experience them as entities, or it doesn't really matter how you experience it or if you really believe in it technically. The important part of it to understand, though, is that if a person has taken on an energy that's not their own, that the goal in the end is not to integrate it. And you have to be watching that, because generally you'll think, well, this is a disowned part. I want to bring it back into my wholeness. Well, if it's not you, what you want to do is let it go. So it's a different thing. But it becomes apparent in the process because the person will just sense that it's not them. And there won't be any desire to integrate it. There may be a desire to help that part, which is a good thing, to help it to find a more resourceful way to behave, as in, you know, addictive personality elements or just any kind of a problem. Could be a very angry part. And if you kind of, it may be the client will say, well, gee, I don't want to just release this anger around the world. So part of the end of the process may be finding a suitable way to send that angry part off to be healed or somehow help. Are there any questions? Anything about that?
Jane, you're saying that anger isn't really part of you, in coming from the outside.
I was just citing that as a possible example.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. The thing is, you don't know if it's part of you or not, or you might not know. Let's say, assume you don't know. It could be an angry part, aspect of the self. It could also be something that has come from the outside.
That's where I'm not clear. What's an example of, other than anger, that something that could come from the outside? Can you give an example?
Well, in the case of addictions, it's kind of commonly felt that if you go into a bar, there are a lot of entities in bars that will want to attach to people to have the experience of, you know, of being able to drink like a regular person, to be the experience of being in a body and being able to drink alcohol, in some way be connected with the addiction, whatever it is. So, and this is a theory. I mention it, and I don't put a lot of thought into entities, because the way that I see it is, if there is an energy that's coming in from the outside that somehow we permit to be connected to us,
mm-hmm.
it is by permission in some way.
Oh.
Not consciously, but we are allowing that energy in. There's something in us that's attracting it. And whenever we heal whatever it is that's attracting it, then it can't be there anymore. So you don't necessarily have to believe in it. I just mentioned it because we're going to talk about, with subpersonalities, we talk about integrating these disowned parts. But there are times when the goal may not be to integrate it, because the client doesn't feel that it's part of them.
Okay.
And when that happens, it's important, you don't want to force that. You want to honor it, whatever they're sensing. If they sense that it's not part of them and that they just need to let it go or send it away, you want to follow that. You don't want to try to force them to go in a direction that doesn't feel right to them.
Okay.
And that's the only point with that. It's just something to be aware of, because I've had that happen quite a few times. In most cases, all of the parts who come in are parts of the self. But if a client senses that it's not a part of the self, you don't want to say, well, yes, it is, because it probably isn't.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Related to that, when we talked about being therapeutic a while back, the first time we talked about it, we talked about qualities that you want to encourage and to incorporate into your work. And we skipped over the part on toxic relating. And this is from the Appendix D. Under toxic relating, there are some good examples of disowned subpersonalities that are given here. The ones that are in the appendix are common subpersonality types of subpersonalities that you might have to address to just be able to be present and neutral and working appropriately with a person in the session. And in a way, also, they can be somewhat amusing to think about them. The first one is called the preacher, which is a person who uses moralizing as the primary technique in therapy. And if you think about it, if someone is moralizing to you, how effective is that? You know, you're usually not that receptive to it. Similarly, the second one is the judge, who hands down his or her version of the law, logic, and authority. And most people don't respond too well to that either. And if you're wanting to work from the highest possible level, these are not the kinds, obviously, the kinds of roles that you want to play. And the next one is the teacher, and this is in a similar vein, a teacher who feels that they have to teach someone a lesson, you know, that they have to teach them how to teach someone how to think and behave. The next one is the savior who thinks they have to save people. And then the final example is called the pleaser, who wants everyone to like them and is afraid to say something that might be difficult with a client. Just as a, if you use these as examples, how would you know if what you're experiencing is coming from one of these disowned parts rather than your soul? How would you recognize the difference if you're working with someone, just as a way of evaluating yourself? Anyone have an idea, an easy way to recognize?
Jane, this is Linda.
Yes.
For me, I think I would notice who's doing the most talking. Am I talking more than the client or vice versa? Because when I find myself talking more, it may be that I've taken on one of these other things. Because being with a client and allowing it to unfold is probably one of the hardest things to learn, because we've all been taught by our parents and everyone else to jump in there and try to fix things. And, you know, so that's a clue for me. If I'm talking more than they are, I need to listen to what I'm saying and maybe ask more questions.
Right. And if you're in one of those states, how would you identify that it's not part of your wholeness?
I think emotionally I would feel a pressure to have it be a certain way.
It would be coming from fear, right? Rather than a place of love and wholeness.
Correct.
So and a feeling of separation rather than connection.
Right.
I think it's just as a gauge, it's always good to be able to look at it and have a way to identify it. And I think that's what you're saying is good, too. If you feel like you need to fix them, fix the client or even yourself, or fix anything. We're not here to fix anything. If we're helping another person, we're helping them to take their next step. And when they're ready, which they generally are, to address issues. But if they're not ready, it's not our place to force anything, right?
Right.
Yeah, and so that's a good thing to watch for, is do you feel like you have to convince somebody of something or somehow make it better? Or can you just be and be in the moment with what's happening, which may or may not involve speaking? It may involve listening. At least at the beginning of a process, I tend to think of listening more and speaking less. At the end, I might speak more. After having completed a process, I might give more insights on it to help the person to integrate it, and that would be more of a time for discussion. At the beginning, I'm usually wanting to receive information about what's happening and not say an awful lot, hopefully. Okay, so any question about that, about the being therapeutic, about the different parts to watch for in ourselves? Okay. One other area thing that gives good clues, too, that might help you to understand kind of the concept is cultural influences, you know, how different cultures, certain things are acceptable and other things are not. As in our culture, it's not too acceptable for a man to cry, right? So men will often project strength and you know, the manly man kind of stuff, and will the part that is more vulnerable will tend to be the disowned part that is unconscious and is actually waiting for an opportunity to come out and express itself more. Or a female, you know, if a female is assertive in our culture, you know, in the political arena, they're often called bitches, right? Bad, there are bad names for females who are assertive. So that's often repressed in a female, and we feel that it's our role to be more supportive and nurturing, and it's more of a challenge to be assertive and to go into more masculine areas of society, as I did as an architect. I was working mostly almost always with men, and there were some people who had some problems with it, although I wasn't one of them. So that's just a way to where you can kind of see the concept clearly, I think, is in, and different societies have different perspectives. I'm sure Kothari in Japan, there are many differences in that. And I know that in the Asian cultures in general, there's more of a sense of duty. So if you're working actually with someone from another culture, there are going to be things that will be in the forefront of their consciousness that would not be imaginable to a person who's from the U.S. mainland.
Exactly.
Kothari, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Have you noticed anything in Japan in the culture?
There's not a huge emphasis on the relationship between a husband and wife here. Mm-hmm. The husband's job is to be in the business. And interestingly enough, a few months ago, they had a course in mainland Japan for retired men because they did not know how to be in relationship with their wife.
When they retired?
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
America, we're kind of putting it in the face that men need to be in relationship with their wives and take a more active role in the home, mm-hmm. and all of that. And here, that's just almost non-existent.
Wow. Yeah, that's very different. Thank you. So for working with subpersonalities, this is one of those areas, and I'm going to go into the example as soon as possible, because this is one of those areas where you need to allow plenty of time. I wouldn't go into a process like this if I didn't have a fair amount of time for it, because you need to give each part ample space to express themselves and to honor each one, and that can't be done if you're rushed. So it's not a process for a 15-minute session. There are some points here on page 10 of the manual, section 12, about subpersonality work. One is just looking at the disowned parts starts to change them. And we've done a lot with imagery already, and you've noticed, I'm sure, how when a challenge or a problem is clearing, the imagery connected with it will be shifting. So when we've used a landscape, the landscape may start very dismal and bleak, and then it's going to gradually change to hopefully probably something sunnier and brighter. This happens with disowned parts, too, and not only will they change their perspective, sometimes they'll change, their appearance will dramatically change, their size might change. Like a part that's like a monster may become smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until it's just the size of a Pomeranian or something, and the client will look at it and it's no threat at all anymore. So these things can be very interesting, and the imagery is generally pretty amazing. The second point, all of the parts need loving. This is just like we talked about this with the inner child, and sometimes that's all they need. just to know that they aren't disconnected, that there's someone who cares about them, may cause them to change dramatically. The third one, it's not recommended to seek out demonic aspects. This type of work requires special training. And this is not something that we generally attract or deal with. If people call and they describe having something that sounds like a demonic aspect, we usually recommend that they go to someone else. Partly from at least my perspective, I'm not sure if it is a demonic aspect or if they might have a psychological imbalance that would be beyond my ability to address. So I generally stay away from those things. That's just my own personal feeling about that. And if those kinds of things come up, generally you can ask them also in the session, if they come up, to ask them to depart and to leave. And if the client seems to have some kind of a fascination with them, that might be a client who you don't want to work with. At least that would be the way that I would see it, unless you feel that you have a talent in that area. I just stay away from it. And I generally, my perspective is that I'm looking for people who are wanting to embrace, obviously we're talking about love and joy in a more fulfilling life in a positive sense. So we don't tend to attract that kind of energy, and we just don't encourage continuing with those with people who have those kinds of problems. The last one, as with all processes, the client needs to be in control and comfortable with the process. So if they become comfortable with a part that shows up, again, you can ask it to leave. The client is in control, so actually they can ask it to leave if they're uncomfortable with it. And there are ways, like we talked about, with inner child communication and things where you can, if you need to separate something off, you could actually put a part behind a screen or something. And again, this is not something that usually happens, but it's always good to be aware of what might happen. And so I just want you to know some of those things. Any questions about that before? I'm going to describe the process a little bit briefly, and then I'm going to do the demonstration of it. Okay, so we're on to the process. And this, we addressed subpersonalities twice in this program. We did it once in the last course for those who took it. We did voice dialogue, which is a really wonderful way of doing it too. And that's where you actually have the client move from chair to chair. So you can have several chairs that they sit in, and each chair is a distinct part. It's very effective. This one is kind of, it's a similar thing, but it's a hypnotherapy version, so it's all done as a guided imagery kind of a process, where the goal is to take the client to a place where they can meet with different parts who are interested in a subject. And when they arrive there, you do an induction and take them to the special place, and when they arrive, then you suggest that there is a place where they can meet there. And you ask how many chairs are there for the parts who want to communicate. And of course, you're going with a focused topic in mind. This wouldn't be something to do just kind of with a general. You could try it, but as with most healing processes, we would suggest having something specific in mind, and then these parts that come in are going to be oriented specifically toward that issue. So usually when you ask how many chairs there are, they'll say around 5 or 6. Sometimes it may even just be 3 or 4, which is fine. If it gets to be a lot more, like if they say there are 15 chairs or something, that's going to be more than you can address in one session. You can imagine wanting to communicate with 15 different parts. So you could, in that kind of a case, you could suggest that limiting it to something around 5 or 6, and then maybe having an observation gallery for the other parts where they could be close by. And what happens is, as the client relaxes and goes into an altered state, a more of a trance state, the unconscious will just know how many parts are going to come in. And it's interesting how it works, because then generally all the chairs are filled and it works out just fine, just the way you would imagine. When I do this, I often diagram the process while the client is describing it to me. So say they describe a round table, that they're going to meet at a round table and there's six chairs. As each part comes in, and we'll invite them in one at a time, I'll ask them where that part is sitting and have them describe it, and generally have a title or a name for it. And sometimes it'll be titles like there might be the dolphin, and then there might be the wise one, different titles, or sometimes people might have names, like that might be Abigail the whale over there. You never know, and just go with whatever the client feels comfortable with. But it's good to get a name or a title for each part, so that what you're going to do is encourage a conversation so that you'll know what to call the part. And again, if a part comes in that makes the client feel uneasy, you can ask them to leave. One thing that is really important in all of this from our perspective, and this is something that we have added to what we learned about this kind of process, is that you want to have a guide or a part that represents the soul, because that's the part that's going to have the resources, right, to resolve the issue. So you'll want to, if there isn't a part that comes in like that, as the client is introducing different parts, then you want to ask if there is one at some point in the process, because that will facilitate resolution. And then you just go in and have a discussion and let the different parts express themselves. And you continue the dialogue until you reach some kind of resolution, which almost always happens. If for some reason you came to the end, you probably could come to some kind of a conclusion for the day and return to it. But I think that's highly unlikely. Like I said, you do need to allow a fair amount of time, but it's unlikely that it wouldn't come to some kind of a natural conclusion within a reasonable period of time. And then usually at the end there's some kind of a final coming together of all the parts, and they all say goodbye, or they all come together actually and become a part of the person, and then the person comes back. So any questions about the process before I start the demonstration? Okay. Then the next part is that I need someone who would like to be the client for the demonstration. And this process, you can use it with anything. It can be any kind of an issue. So, because if you look at what the journey is about, it's about bringing disconnected parts back into our wholeness, which involves even where there are physical problems, although I tend to use this less with physical problems than with other things. But if there is a part that's not well, you know, that would be a subpersonality just like any other subpersonality. So it would apply still. Is there anything come up for anybody that they would like to address? Anything related to starting a practice or manifesting? Anything blocking you from manifestation, self-expression, feeling confident, having abundance? An opportunity. Really a wonderful process, actually. Is anybody there?
We're here.
I find out I've been talking to myself for 15 minutes. Got disconnected. Well, is there anybody who maybe hasn't done a demo ever or recently who would like an opportunity?
Jane?
Yes.
I was on mute, so I was just as bad as you. I was going to volunteer. I didn't hear the last part of what you said because I just realized that maybe I was muted and didn't know it. So maybe, could you just repeat the last thing that you said?
Well, just if there was anybody who hasn't volunteered lately or ever who would like to. It's an opportunity. And Mary Lou, if you feel like you're interested, there's not a big rush for it, so certainly
well,
would be welcome.
I just did something the other night, so if somebody else wants to, I, you know, would let them do it first. But
Okay, this is the final call. Going. Okay, Mary Lou.
Okay. sorry, something that just kind of came up for me recently, having to do with, I guess, financial abundance more specifically than in general abundance, but I realized that the most educated, I'm the oldest living sibling in our family, and I've probably the biggest money earner, and out of seven of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember exactly how this came up recently, but I started thinking that this may be something that's blocking me because I don't want to put myself, like have a big gap in between, so that my, my other siblings don't feel bad or think I'm better than that, whatever. Just
mm-hmm.
like kind of sibling
mm-hmm.
rivalry, but not, it's like not really overt, but just like, you kind of want to keep in with the pack.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's a normal part of the way we view our family is that we're, our whole way of being is somehow within a certain, you might say, box or bubble.
Uh-huh.
And if we move out of that, then we're not part of the pack anymore, right?
Yeah, well,
so we can confine ourselves. We don't have to, but we can, yeah.
Yeah, and kind of just adding, like, a side note, I was always the screw-up in the family. So for me to be the one that's kind of on top like that, and I don't mean that I really am, but what I'm saying is like even more opposing,
maybe most successful or
more opposing to what my role should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
Well, I definitely feel like it's blocking me, and that because I always want to fit in, and I always feel like I'm just kind of just on the edge.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So these things make me fit in even less.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay. So are you ready to do a process then on that?
I guess.
Is that a yes?
Yeah, that's a yes.
Is there anything else that you want us to know about before we start?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. Okay, so I assume you're in a place where you can relax?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you just start by closing your eyes then and taking a couple of nice breaths. And as you breathe, you're breathing in that nice, clear energy and releasing anything that you don't need with the exhale. so that you can feel more clear as we move in towards this process. And just let go of any concerns that you have from the day. I know you had a very busy day. So this is the time with the breathing just to bring your body more into the present moment and also bring your awareness more within yourself so that we can go on this special journey together. So if you feel any energy in your area, in your field from the day, just ask it to leave now and fill that space with that pure light that you're breathing in. And again, releasing, just nice releases with each exhale. How does that feel?
Yes, I've created kind of a bubble around me.
Mm-hmm. How does that feel?
I feel protected and safe.
Good, good. Okay, so just continue to breathe light into that bubble. And as you do, start imagining and intending to go to just the right place for you to address this issue of financial abundance and your next step for moving forward being who you want to be. And we can imagine now that you're floating into a beautiful mist that's going to take you to this place. And when the mist clears, then you'll find yourself in the setting where we can have the meeting. And when you find yourself there, just let me know what you're noticing.
It seems like I'm kind of in a cave.
You're in a what?
Cave.
A cave?
Uh-huh, C-A-V-E.
Okay. And what's it like in there?
There's not a lot of light. There's some kind of glowing light, but it's not exactly like a campfire, but there's not a fire, but there's a glow, I guess, is what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying.
So is it coming from a specific place, then, the glow, or just kind of all around?
It's kind of in the center.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ring of chairs there.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And then I just noticed there are a couple lights on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Behind me.
Okay. And what do the walls look like?
Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
It's not oppressive in any way, though. It's just
mm-hmm. good.
You know, just kind of it's like a secret meeting place.
Oh, good. Okay, so how many chairs are there?
Maybe 20, but there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
15,
so there's a circle with 20 chairs?
Yeah, 15, 20. I can't really count them, but there's nobody else there, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's going to be too many for us to address. Can the chairs rearrange themselves so that there's a more suitable number and maybe the rest can be like around the outside? Or maybe from the 20 you could move, just have move however many, like 5 or 6 or some appropriate number in that, more in that area into the middle and then have the rest be around the outside.
Okay.
If you do that, how many then are in the center circle?
Like 3 now.
There
yeah,
are 3 chairs?
Yeah, I moved them into the center.
Okay. Okay. So is there anything else about the environment that is worth noting before we start the meeting?
I just heard a trickle of water coming from somewhere, but I don't see it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so would you like to sit in one of the seats?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so from there, why don't you invite another part of you who has something to say about this issue with financial abundance and your place in the family. Why don't you invite that part to join you and describe what you're noticing as that part comes in.
Okay. Okay, this is me when I was probably in my late 20s, early 30s,
mm-hmm.
which is when I first started college. I was a lot sassier then. I have this little top on. It's white with little flowers on it, different colored flowers.
Mm-hmm.
My hair is kind of reddish.
Mm-hmm.
Much longer. And that's about all I noticed.
Okay. And what does this younger, do you want to call her the younger you, or do you have a different, what would you like to call her?
Yeah, that's fine. Younger you, younger me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sorry, so what were you going to say?
Okay, and what would she like to say about why she's joined you here in the meeting, the younger you?
She's saying something about how hard it was for her to make that decision.
The decision to go to college, you mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what does that have to do with?
Well, then she said something else, too, because I switched my majors, which my mother wasn't very happy about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the other part of what was hard, was
mm-hmm.
to do what I wanted to do instead of what my mother thought I should do.
Mm-hmm. So what is her purpose in coming to the meeting today? What does she want to get from the meeting?
She wants to make sure that I'm doing what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not stuck in something that I don't want to be in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does she have anything else she wants to say before we ask another part to come in?
Kind of wondered whatever happened to the years. Like I need to be reminded. Yeah, she doesn't seem like she has any. Oh, she actually just waved bye to me. She's walking into the darkness or something. I don't know.
She's leaving?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's done with what she wanted to say?
I guess she is.
Okay. Okay, so why don't we invite another part in and see who comes in?
Okay, there's a little girl. I'm not sure if it's me or not.
Mm-hmm. What does she look like?
Kind of Shirley Temple-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe more about that age as opposed to so much looking like her. But she does kind of have curly hair.
Mhm. Okay, and
I'm thinking it is me because her nails are bitten.
Okay, what would she like to say about why she's there?
She's kind of pouting. And mm-hmm. hasn't said anything yet. Got her lip
out. Is she sitting down?
Yes, she's got her bottom mm-hmm. lip way out.
Okay. Which side of you is she sitting on?
To my left.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a little teddy bear with her.
Okay. So does she want to say anything?
She's not saying anything.
Okay. Well, we can leave her there then. Maybe there's another part who can come in and illuminate us a little more on this.
Well, my mother just walked in.
Okay.
Jeez, I thought I just saw her last week.
And what does she look like?
Very authoritative. She just actually took the hand of the little girl and is kind of guiding her away. So they both just left.
Hmm. Having a hard time finding someone to sit in these chairs.
Well, I can kind of see the little girl tugging away, but she's not really, you know, able to get back. She's making a fuss, but it's not, you know, it's not, she's not going to be coming back, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there, maybe there's another part who can illuminate us a little more on this?
Well, I just heard my dad say, "Why don't you leave her alone, Pauline?" Pauline's my mother.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not really there.
Who's not really where?
My dad's not really there. I just heard his voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there someone coming in?
Well, there's a me that's a little tipsy. She's not making any sense.
She's coming in?
Well, she's just kind of standing there, but she's not making it. I don't know what she's saying. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want her to join you and sit down?
Not sure.
Well, you can just leave her then, and maybe just ask for some that we, if we could get some kind of a focus part to come in that could actually illuminate us on this subject.
Well, I can see another part, but she's like a dark side of me.
Mm-hmm. Where is she?
I guess she's sitting on one of those other chairs.
Mm-hmm. And what does she look like?
Depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't want to be, she just wants to hang back where she is and kind of not be noticed, I guess. Can't get anybody
to talk to me. Is she sitting in the front, in the one of the three chairs or one of the other chairs?
No, she's sitting in one of the other chairs and she doesn't want to
mm-hmm.
come up.
Okay. Okay.
It doesn't seem like I can get anybody to talk to me.
Well, why don't we ask if there's a guide who maybe could help to pull some of the significance
of all this. Well, I just saw somebody take my hand, but I don't know who it is. Okay, it's my Aunt Elmer.
And what does she want to tell you?
Oh, and then there's my friend Mary. She's tugging at me on the other hand. Well, Mary just wants me to have fun. And my Aunt Elner just wants to remind me that remember that we're just poor folk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now there's this angel coming in.
Okay.
Or fairy, whatever she is. I guess, no, she's more like an angel.
Mm-hmm. What does she look like?
She's like the Good Witch in The Wizard of Oz kind of looking.
Okay. And what would she like to say?
She just wants to take me away, actually.
What do you want to do?
All I have to do is take her hand.
Mm-hmm.
But she has all this white light glowing around her and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn because I don't know. I don't know what she wants or what she's going to do with me
mm-hmm.
if I go.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you ask her?
Okay. Thank you. She said that if I go with her, all will be as it should.
Meaning what?
It's rather vague.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I promise you.
Well, what are your feelings about that?
I ask her how it should be, how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, life should be wonderful.
Anything else?
You shouldn't be something. You shouldn't be harnessed. With these people.
What are your feelings about
that? But I'm
that?
Afraid to go.
Mm-hmm. Why are you afraid?
Because the Mary and my owner, I've always considered them to be good things in my life. And
mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid because she wants me to leave them that she's promised me something that it's not going to happen.
What does she say about that?
She just says, all will be as it should. I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Life is meant to be one. She's getting a little irritated with me because I won't let go.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me more fearful.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel myself breaking away from the other two and going with her. We're like ascending. Somewhere.
Mhm.
But I have the teddy bear with me.
Mhm.
Huh. Wonder what the teddy bear is about. I'm thinking. Why did I take the teddy bear?
Mhm.
What am I holding on to?
What comes to mind?
Yes, just my childhood. I mean, that's the only thing I can think about
mm-hmm.
that it might be.
So where are you going now?
I'm not really sure, but now I can see stars. And we don't seem to be in the cave anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the teddy bear started growing, and then it dropped out of my hand. I don't know if I let it go or... Yeah, I don't know how that happened exactly.
It just kind of dropped away?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's happening now?
I just keep seeing more and more stars, and it does seem to be pretty wonderful.
Mhm. Is the angel still there?
No, she. I just realized that I'm flying on my own now, or hovering, whatever you want to call it.
Mhm.
Which is kind of a neat feeling.
Mhm. And what does that mean to you?
Just that I can, I guess.
Mhm. And from that perspective, then, what are your feelings about where we started about feeling blocked, about wanting to fit in with your family and being just on the edge, you mentioned, of acceptability, I think you meant.
Yeah.
And now you're flying, so what does that mean to you?
Yes, I feel like I just needed some encouragement. Like somebody to get me moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And leave the pack behind. Funny thing is, my main name's Pack, so it's just like funny. Leave the pack behind.
Yeah. So how does that feel now?
Well, actually, now I am kind of zooming around.
Oh.
I think I'm feeling kind of, you know, full of myself.
Ooh, I can fly. Great. So what
I just feel like really free, I think.
Mhm.
Yeah, that's definitely what it is. I just feel free.
Good. And what do you think the message is for you then for the future to take away from this?
To just do what I'm going to do and be who I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm. How does that feel?
It feels freeing and a little scary at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I can do it if I want it,
mm-hmm.
if I want to. And it's good that I think I want to. You know, it feels like I want to.
Good.
I'm just zooming all over. I'm just dive bombing and everything. I'm just having
well,
a great time
wonderful.
Flying.
Good.
I'm going to be tired in the morning. Or at least my arms will
all
be.
All that exercise.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, does that feel complete then for now?
Yeah, I guess, because I'm just going to keep flying.
Okay, well, you can just keep flying in your mind, and we're at a time when we're toward the end of the call here. We need to let people let everybody else fly off to where they're going to go.
Okay.
Okay, so did you want to stay flying or do you want to come back to Earth as we depart here?
I can come back.
Okay. Okay, so just allow yourself to come back, bring your awareness back into your seat where you're sitting or lying down, and feel yourself connected to the earth, and take a couple more active breaths so you can come back to your normal waking state. And of course, obviously, you can just take your time coming out of this and reflecting, allowing more awareness of this to come in the next day or two. And I think, does anybody have any questions about that? It actually is, as with any process, they follow their own direction wherever they need to go. Anything, anybody? Mary Lou, do you have any final thoughts? Yeah, maybe it's just us. I didn't hear that many bells going, so.
Oh, okay. I wasn't there.
Yeah. We're going to have to end the class. Do you have any final thoughts, anything about that, Mary Lou, that you'd want to say before we end the class?
That was very interesting, and I part of my body feels like it's still flying.
Mm-hmm. Good. Anyone else? Any comments on what you appreciated most in the class this evening?
Jane, this is Kathari.
Yes.
I just see how I can put this. Realize how important it is to be comfortable with those silences and allowing the client to just take whatever time they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a process where you need to allow their space and allowing some space for them to reflect and for things to happen is part of this process. And I'm sorry I was running a little over, but that's just the way the process is. You can't rush it. But I think it was a beautiful process, and it was not the typical meeting where actually we didn't get people together in chairs, but I think that it made the exact point that Mary Lou needed to recognize. And then she was able to free herself, you know, with all the different parts of the family coming in, she got to see a lot of different aspects of it, and then to free herself and go off flying. I thought that was very beautiful symbolically.
Mm.
One more comment, thing you appreciated the most before we go tonight?
Jane, it's Mary Lou. I just had a quick question. So
okay.
In terms of time, because I kind of, you know, lost track of it, how much time would you allow for this process?
Well, we started actually 40 minutes ago now in the process. So you'd want to have, you know, a good hour session.
Okay.
To be able to do this. In other words, you wouldn't want to do it in a half an hour coaching call or something. It wouldn't be appropriate.
Okay,
well, that brings us to the end of the call. And Mary Lou, if you have any other thoughts or questions, you can please write them in to the Yahoo group, and I'll reply. If I have any other thoughts, I'll also write them in, or if anybody else has any questions. Again, it's a process, as with all of them, that just it took its own direction, and I think went exactly where you needed it to go. So thank you, Mary Lou, for sharing with us, and thank you, everybody else, for being here.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
Thank you all.
Good night, everybody.